You are listening to Season 1 of The Grimoire, Aurora Grove by Forteller Games. Please like and subscribe to support this audio series and to be notified when new episodes are released. Visit ForetellerGames.com for more immersive gaming experiences.
On the half hour past 3 p.m. on WPHX American Public Radio. I'm your host, Monica Dixon. In the news today, a series of missing persons cases are rocking the sleepy community of Aurora Grove, a cozy hamlet in the shadow of the Whisper Mountains. Known for snowbirds and their robust outdoor recreation community, Aurora Grove also holds mystery somewhere in its surrounding hills. The legend of the Lost Greenfield Mine, a gold and precious minerals mine reportedly worth millions and lost to the annals of time, brings both daytime treasure hunters, general hikers, and nature enthusiasts up trails for not only their health, but the possibility of buried fortune. Recently, though, this idyllic town has been darkened by the shadowy legends that surround these mountains. A series of missing persons cases have put a damper on the otherwise robust tourist economy. While there is a long history of missing people and disappearances surrounding the famed range, the cases have piled up with some regularity over the past few months. The newest case being town councilman, Nee Lin, last seen with his signature blue and gold sweater, going on an evening hike. Over a dozen missing persons cases are currently under review with the Aurora Grove Police Department, who, when reached out by WPHX, declined to comment on the ongoing cases. This story and more from our journalists in the field at the Whisper Mountains coming up in just 15 minutes here on WPHX.
Fuck.
Meg's frowned as she walked past a missing persons bulletin board of the Applejack Diner, the largest flyer being Michael Thompson, the latest missing person and city councilman. His picture was in black and white, but his signature blue sweater was recognizable from even afar. There were so many flyers now that some of the reports were partially covered by an Aurora Grove Historical Society Gala poster. News fatigue had set in, so no one seemed to be paying attention anymore. Mags glanced around the diner until she saw Scott, her friend and camera guy, waving wildly from across the room. Walking over and throwing herself into the bright red diner booth, she took a deep drink of a coffee Scott had ordered for her and pushed back the curly brown hair, obscuring her bright, inquisitive eyes that hid behind her framed glasses. Scott leaned forward, strands of his bushy red beard fell onto the table, and his bright green eyes peered over at Mags. He folded his hands, then squinted into the sky outside of the window. He was quite content to allow the pregnant space of silence to grow between the haze of his post-lunch bliss. Scott glanced back and immediately recognized his friend's headspace. He'd seen this look before, and it wasn't good. Mags had terrible news.
Hey, listen. Is it the missing cases? A lead is sure to turn up. Maybe it's some sort of prank. Weird alternative reality game bullshit. Like, these types of people don't disappear for long. I'm sure they'll pop up after some yacht rock and cocaine time, or after their LARP is over or something.
I guess. To be honest, it's more so that it's suddenly spiking. Like, what the actual fuck? And I swear, it's gotta be like aliens or some mole people.
I don't think so. I think we might just need to take a minute and review. What do we know, Max?
Meg smiled. This was a game they played since they partnered in their second year of college. They first started it when they tried to figure out if the girl Mags was into actually noticed her, and she was confused with homework, navigating life's choices, or cracking investigative journalism cases. They would talk it out with each other, laying into the evidence and picking it back up as if they had never seen it before.
Well, for one, we know that people are going missing at a rate never seen in our town's history. And second, we know that the disappearances are all up and around the Whisper Mountains. And third, I miss college. We never should have graduated. And I'm not gonna do anything about any of this because I didn't get the journalist job. So fuck it.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry. That sucks. You know what? If they don't want you as an employee, fuck them. They passed up on the best investigator I know. So, what's next?
Hell if I know. I mean, without a funding stream, this type of job becomes unobtainable. I could probably push it for a month until I'll be crashing at your place. You know what, though? I kind of feel like the next big break is right there. Okay, I can feel it.
Mags leaned in with an enigmatic look in her eyes. Scott followed suit as his belly squeezed over the wooden table.
What if we're the ones to bust this case wide open?
The missing persons case?
Yes, the missing persons cases. It could get you and me a job anywhere. So, I mean, we can do this. If you still want to.
You know, I like seeing you like this. All wide-eyed and full of ambition.
Cool it. I'm still pissed and disappointed. I'm just good at hiding it.
Megs looked down at their now emptied lunch plates.
I'm sure a good friend could pick up lunch since I'm so distraught.
Fine.
Thanks, buddy. You're the best. I promise you when I get my first Pulitzer, I'll buy you all the shitty diner food you could stomach.
Yeah, you always say that, but this time I'm holding you to it. My general disposition depends on the amount of greasy spoon garbage I can intake in any given day. But seriously, okay, if we've got about a month, where do we start? Like, you're the investigator, I'm just the camera guy.
Here is your check. Whenever you're ready, no rush.
Oh, goodness. Here, I'll take care of this.
Thank you, pal.
Okay. Now back to the game. What else do we know?
Well, we got a group of missing people, a spooky mountain, a legend of lost treasure, and a cheery disposition.
Speak for yourself on that last part.
Maybe we start documentary style. Interview someone who knows about the history of the mountains.
I mean, that seems like a good place to start. And maybe we can hit up the Aurora Grove Historical Society or something. Yeah, I remember going there as a kid on a trip. Bunch of cool Wild West shit, miner's gear. We can call him from the road.
See? This is why you're not just a cameraman.
Scott and Mags headed 90 minutes outside of town. The dusty roads were surrounded on all sides by beige wasteland, spotted with the occasional cacti. Wispy mirages blurred the horizon lines as blacktop and desert blended into one. The sun was beginning to head down behind the Whisper Mountains, but it was still high enough to give them a few hours of light. Scott spent most of the ride researching the area and speaking with the Historical Society.
Okay, awesome. Yes, thanks. No, we know. Hey, thank you so much for your time. We're about 20 minutes out. Yeah, thanks again. All right, so we're meeting with the curator, someone named Allison Greengrove. She's already up there doing some field work. She said she's got the perfect place for us to shoot. I think that worked out quite well, if I do say so myself.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Co-Pilot.
All in a day's work.
When the Historical Society building was in sight, Scott directed Mags to take a thin dirt road and brought them to the back of the building, just at the edge of the property line. Desert Ravine lay just south of the location Scott was provided, and they walked towards the drop-off, beautiful reds and orange blooming off of the desert's rocky floor.
Hello?
Mags and Scott heard a high-pitched voice from behind them. They turned to see a tall woman with large black hair and a long blue-green suit walking towards them as she waved. She was carrying a brown leather bag with papers and maps sticking out from the top.
You must be Magdalena Cardosa and Scott Slavoski, right?
Allison had a firm handshake as she greeted them both and smiled with her eyes behind thick-rimmed circular glasses.
Thank you for meeting me out here. I'm so glad our Historical Society is getting some coverage.
We are so glad that you could meet with us this late. Scott, are we good to start recording?
I'm ready when you are.
So this will be quick. I'm just going to ask you some questions about the Whisper Mountains and the Lost Greenfield Mine.
Just a few? Oh, yeah, of course. I could talk about the legend all day. I mean, so much death and mystery are involved in it.
Scott, we're rolling, right? Scott!
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, Miss Greengrove. Can you tell me a little bit about the horrors of these hills and the stories that go along with them?
Oh, absolutely. Sometime in the late 1870s, two German immigrant prospectors by the name of Thomas Wesley and Thomas Waltz found a mine with a strong gold thread running through it. They gathered a mining team and recovered large caches of gold ore, hiding much of it somewhere in the mountains. One legend says the miners were attacked in Mexico while on their way to sell the gold, but most say that greed got to the entire band of miners, causing all of them to go mad and murder their compatriots and their families for the fortune. The mine is now only known as the Massacre Grounds, which is up the ridge approximately 5 to 10 miles from here.
Can you tell us how we were able to learn about this legend if all the miners were murdered?
Well, a few family members of the miners did survive, but they didn't know the location of the mine or the secret treasure now lost in blood and dust. Over the years, hundreds, if not thousands, of people have wandered these mountains in search of the purported millions that may be just out of reach on an outcropping or behind the next turn of the natural caverns that dot the landscape. Many have been lost to the desert around here, swept up by greed and the hope of finally finding the gold of the lost Greenfield mine. Those souls lost themselves to hunger or dehydration under the oppressive sun. There are very few places to find shelter out there.
I mean, I know the allure of riches is strong, but are they strong enough for people to make dangerous decisions like this that could lose their lives?
That's one of the things I'm researching out here. Folks aren't intentionally going out looking to die. I apologize if that's what was taken by that. I think people just get lost out there. They get so interested in their search that they lose track of where they are or run out of supplies. Then that's the end of that. A bit of bad luck can turn into a really bad day out in the desert.
Yeah, your last bad day.
Exactly.
And we're good.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for doing this last minute with us.
Oh, anytime. You should come visit the Historical Society.
We'd love to. We can get some B-roll of the artifacts, maybe a few shots of the interior before heading out into the desert.
Well, please be careful out there. Hey, so that you know, we're doing a little thing to help the Historical Society, a fundraiser. Anyone is invited, and the-
Sure, yeah. It's a date. But, you know, not like that. you know. here.
Megs fumbled with her cards out of her jacket pocket, handing two of them to Greengrove and dropping it at least three more on the ground.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like a plan. Oh, and I didn't want to say this on record, but, just a professional tip. Get yourself set up with supplies, and you don't really need to stick to the trails. Like, as long as you have a compass or a GPS, you literally can't get lost. Here, this is one of my maps. I've marked a few of the mines and outcroppings I'm exploring that are left over from the gold rush. They would look great for your footage. Here, I got other copies. You can take this.
Oh, thank you so much for your help. Scott and I were just going to walk around and get some more footage. But if you think these places are good, then we'll check them out. If we were going to go up into the hills, we'd need some more gear. But thank you for the tip.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to meet you both.
She smiled and studied Meg's business card as she walked back towards the cottage building. Meg touched her face, wincing from the heat coming off her cheeks.
Wow, Anchor Cardoza. You know, I remember my first interview, too. I can only hope to be as nuanced and inquisitive as you.
Come on. All right, we got work to do.
The two made their way back to the car, and Meg plopped into the passenger seat, reviewing the footage, until something odd caught her attention.
Wait, no. It couldn't be that easy. Scott, look at this.
Yeah, well, one sec. I'm setting up the GPS.
Scott!
Mags, I'm trying to get this set up so we don't get lost out there.
Mags was wide-eyed and fixed on the camera display, zooming and pointing to something on the screen.
What does that look like to you?
On the rock behind Allison Greengrove, feet away from the interview site and hanging from a trail outcropping, was the signature blue sweater last seen on the missing councilman.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we're gonna need more gear.
Staring at the blue sweater, Scott looked as if he just sat in something wet and unpleasant. The sun was dipping behind the mountains after their trip into town and returning to the trailhead.
We have to go out there now. We're running out of light, and we need to check these places out.
Do I look like the hiking type? I haven't done strenuous physical exercise since I tried jogging that one time, and we all saw how that ended.
Come on! You know we gotta try this. What if we get lucky out there? This story's one in a million, bro. We have the guy's fucking sweater. We'll be back in the city before nighttime, and we'll catch a killer sunset out here. And then, boom! Why, yes, Scott and I did find the councilman. Oh, you wanna reward us? No, we couldn't. We could take a job, though.
You are the absolute worst. You're right, but that doesn't make it any better. I want you to know that.
You signed up for this.
Yeah, yeah. As long as we stick to the trails, I'm sure we'll be fine.
Oh, absolutely. And Allison pretty clearly labeled those sweet old mines out there, so we should be good. It's crazy that people just do this all the time. It's like taking your GPS and walking out into the middle of high desert with only what you can carry. It just seems like it's taking your life into your own hands at that point.
You're not wrong. I mean, we know people die out there. It isn't a joke or anything, but yeah, I bet I can get some serious shots out here for voiceover work, at the very least. Then there's the sweater. I got enough pictures of that.
You're lucky we don't need any more of those.
I still think we should go to the cops.
And do what? Give them a dirty sweater we found so they can take all the credit? I can just imagine the press conference out here in front of the boulders. I'm sure they'd say some bullshit like, oh yes, we are seriously looking now since these anonymous Good Samaritans totes helped out our incompetent asses. Thoughts and prayers for the family. Yada yada fucking yada.
All right, I get it. The cops aren't gonna help us in this regard. Shouldn't we tell, like, someone? I feel like we're kind of falling for the same trap the good old mining expeditions fell into, you know, all those years ago.
Going up some trails to get some pan shots is not the end of the road for us. You just bought all that gear and you got like a billion extra batteries. And it's past the hottest part of the day. This hike is a no-brainer, my dude.
Fine, Max, all right.
The two grabbed their packs out of the trunk and started their hike. At first, there were families and bikers as they made their way onward, walking up foothills and taking marked trails. As they made their way higher, they became more emboldened by their abilities. Trails became more of an idea, and fewer people were around until they came to a literal and proverbial crossroads.
Okay, so these shots are great for tourists and snowbirds, but it's not going to make this story. We need less man-made shit in the B-roll. I mean, we're not too far from those buildings marked here on the map.
So I think I figured out how Allison was wandering around the desert up here. I was just checking my maps app and I was able to find out where we were, which does give us a few options. So if you want those sweeping pans and creepy mines, we're going to either need to find a drone or take a little walk off the beaten path. Also, as I figured, we haven't found any clues to where the dear councilman has gone off to, which I didn't want to tell you, I told you so, but...
Fuck it. I think you're right. So what now? We just pick a direction and wander off into imminent danger or something?
Oh, fuck no. Hold on. Let me get... Okay, here. I put a GPS marker where we're located. Currently, we got eyes in the skies here, so if we just zoom out, then we can choose what direction we want to go. Or if you see something of note, then let's go there.
Okay, sick. I can do that. Let me see here. Ah, cool. Okay, check this out. If we head southwest down this wash, then we can get to these cool abandoned buildings. Also, if I were some poor son of a bitch lost in the desert with my phone, I'd probably be looking for some sort of shelter.
Good call. Okay, I'm gonna get some shots while we're walking down the wash. It's always interesting stuff down these things. Yeah, I remember once when I was young, my uncle and I found this old burnt-out car, probably some insurance fraud. Totally put it there with intent. Not from the weather, but still.
Neat. Let's go.
The sun had been setting for some time, but found its slumber behind the mountains, shadowing the valley, bringing in it a crisp chill, and igniting the sky in beautiful colors. They found their way down to a wash and at a cliff's edge overlooking a deep ravine. Max froze in place, peering down like a hawk targeting its prey.
Whoa, Scott! Could you zoom down there, on the left?
Yeah, no problem. Wait, what are we zooming in on? Wait, what the fuck is that?
That gray blob. What is that?
I don't know. It's too far away. Bobcat or something?
No, it's too big to be a bobcat.
Think I got that on the camera. Hold on. Let me see if I can get a better shot. I can just get a... Oh, shit!
The side of the cliff gave away, pouring down tons of shale and stone. The rock slide destroyed the small animal trail the two were following, throwing them down the mountainside. Mags landed hard on her side. She was dazed but not incoherent. Mags looked upward and all at once realized their way out of the canyon was gone. Scott's bag sat hundreds of feet above them, along with the majority of their supplies.
Ah, shit!
Mags moved towards the screaming. Things were fuzzy but starting to come back into focus. She wiped away the liquid pouring down her face and looked at the red on her hands. She finally got her balance and saw Scott, his leg under a large rock, pinned against a 15-foot boulder ridge.
Oh no, Scott. Fuck, okay. Where the fuck is my bag? Are you okay?
Does that look okay? I'm trying not to freak the fuck out right now. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Hold on, buddy. I'm gonna find my bag here. Okay. Here, it's just under these rocks. I have that first aid kit.
First aid kit? Mags! I think my fucking leg is broken. There isn't anything in that bag that's gonna help this. Oh, Jesus, tap dancing Christ, the fucking mountain fell on us. Yeah, Max, just please tell me you got your phone.
Okay, I don't have great news for you, Scott.
Great, that's fucking fantastic. We went down this goddamn mountain and did exactly what we weren't supposed to do.
Listen to me. I'm going to get your leg out from under this rock, and then we're getting out of here. The main trail can't be more than a mile away. There's got to be a way out of here. This is going to hurt. I'm sorry, but when I push down on this branch, I want you to pull yourself out, okay? On three, okay?
All right. Okay, I got this.
Okay. One. Two. What in the fuck was that?
Get against the wall. Get over here and out of the open.
It's right.
It'll hear you.
Is it gone? What the fuck was that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But I bet that does. Scott strained and pointed up the hill about 30 yards away at his camera aiming directly at them from the cliffside. It certainly caught whatever was prowling the high desert.
Okay. New plan. We're going to get you out from under this rock as quietly as possible. And then I'm going to get the camera. We got maybe a quarter mile around this bend to those abandoned buildings, okay? We can find help there. It might be a Forestry Service holdout or something. Maybe they have a radio.
Mags, you know you sound like a horror movie right now? Can you get to my bag?
Scott, bud. I know you can't see it from here, but there's no getting back up this wash. The whole thing collapsed. So this is our best plan right now. Okay? Here. Bite down on this handkerchief. It'll help.
Don't remind me never to go on recreational hikes again. Okay. Let's do this.
Trust me, buddy. If we just found some new desert creature, I think we'll have some nice, relaxing offices to spend out the rest of our careers in. Got it? Ready? One, two, go! There we go, bud. Okay. I got you.
Oh, Max.
Yeah?
Where'd the camera go?
No.
And welcome back to There and Then here on WPHX Public Radio. I'm your host, Monica Dixon. Following up from earlier this week, the suburb community of Aurora Grove is grieving the loss of one of its foremost staunch conservationists and beloved philanthropist, Grant Connor. Last year, he was celebrated by the Aurora Grove local government for creating partnerships with local ranchers, businesses, and federal land grants to create a more welcoming and protective environment. Recently, Mr. Connor spearheaded the search parties that have been pervasive in the Whisper Mountains range over the last month, with the multiple ongoing missing person cases that have overcast the good work the family has done for the range. Unfortunately, off on one of these hunts, Mr. Connor succumbed to a heart attack. Survived by his wife and award-winning biologist, Dr. Marianne Connor, the pair were known for their climate change work and protecting the Whisper Mountains range, where the two built and funded the Whisper Mountains Aurora Grove Biological and Ecological Survey. We will now go to my interview with Grant Connors back in 1995, when he began his initiative in conservation and his love of the land, after a short break. This is There and Then on WPHX Public Radio.
Oh, fuck!
Ugh. Dr. Max, to the rescue. I found this dried branch. It'll be a good crutch for you to walk with. And I got these two sticks, too, so we can split your leg.
Mags placed the two sticks on the side of Scott's leg and wrapped it as tightly as she could. It wasn't the best splint she'd ever seen in person. Well, it was the only splint she'd ever seen in person.
but it looked like it would help Scott walk, and that was all that mattered. Mags helped Scott to his feet and swung the dried wood under his arm to crutch his stance.
Can you put pressure on it?
Not much, but this'll help. Enough to walk, maybe. Could probably make it out of this ravine. Hopefully there's something close by, and I don't want to be here with whatever's smart enough to take a camera and fuck with us.
Okay, pal. Here we go. We're gonna take it slow and get the fuck out of here. If we follow this bridge line, we should reach another trail before it gets too dark. And there's gotta be other people out here. We can find help and get you to a hospital.
Sounds good. Yeah. This is gonna suck.
It's a story, though. You can't deny that. You just hold on to this flashlight, and I'll hold on to you.
I don't give a shit about the story right now, Max. I just don't want to get eaten by whatever new fresh hell is out there.
We'll make it. You just hold on to me, okay? And we'll get out, my guy. I promise.
Okay, Max. Okay. Let's roll.
The two followed the ridgeline as long, dark shadows spooled down from the mountaintops. The sun was setting and it was becoming difficult to navigate quickly throughout the terrain. But they didn't have time to think about that right now. The only goal was to get Scott somewhere safe and get out. The ridgeline eventually gave way to a large valley covered in glowing darkness. The remnants of the beautiful sunset covered the valley in shades of purple, blues, and elongated black. While fantastic, it also provided no cover to the pair.
We can do this, dude. The map Allison gave us showed buildings just around that bend. Just don't look back. Let's just keep going.
Mags, one of those things is following us.
Scott, keep moving, bud. We don't have time for this type of negativity.
Fuck, 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 fuck! Run, Mags! Run!
Mags pulled Scott along as they raced down the slope valley. Pine trees dotted across the landscape until the clearing was behind them, and only a dense wood remained.
It's getting close! Ah!
Yeah, I got that, Scott. Just shut up and run!
The two finally reached the porch steps of an abandoned shack. Mags slammed her shoulder against the front door until it finally gave way, and the pair fell inside, slamming the door behind them.
Hold it closed. I'll find something for the door.
Crutch! Use the crutch!
Are they?
Shh!
They're gone. I've never been so happy that you sprained your leg. This crutch was clutch. You okay?
There are multiple of those fucking things. Did you see it? I only caught a glimpse through the door. I don't know if I...
What was it?
I don't know what I saw. The light's not that good. I've never actually seen a bobcat before, but I don't think they have claws or shells.
Shells?
Maybe it was slick with something? I don't know. I don't know.
Scott, what did you see?
They look like a giant fucking cicada, okay? Like, they come out of the ground and hang on trees and scream, right? That thing looked like a cicada, but huge and without eyes. But that's impossible, right?
Whatever that was, it's left us alone for now. But we can't stay here for long.
I'm gonna just sit right here for a minute, have a little breather, and contemplate my life choices up till now. Also, to answer your question, yeah, I'm fine. I think I, like, nicked my good leg or something, but I'm good.
Okay, let me look around this place. See if they have water or a better first aid kit. Then we'll reassess our commitment to the sciences, yeah?
Mags searched the cabin and found no real structural damage. It seemed secure for the moment, and thankfully whatever was chasing them didn't burst through the thinly painted windows. She paced the single room, sifting through old boxes of maps and surveying books. A single lantern creaked and shifted above them and dimly lit the room once lit. Lantern light danced across the antique rusted pickaxes and shovels that crowded the corner of the room.
There!
Meg shuffled across the old hardwood floors to an aluminum first aid kit latched to the wall, with a logo etched on the front that read, Connor Mining Firm.
You find something?
Oh, jackpot. We got bandages, gauze, some expired aspirin, and a better splint for your leg. There's also some water and cans of, I don't know, something edible, but it looks pretty old.
Hey, check to see if there's a two-way radio here. I think it's federal land, so we should be able to call a ranger station or something.
Max continued to survey the cabin. A small office nook was nestling towards the back corner of the room, and a single window overlooking the rest of the valley. The last vestiges of the sunset finally fell into darkness. It was beautiful, and in any other circumstance it would have been an absolute marvel of nature. As Meg peered through the nightfall, a faint glow appeared just up the mountain. As the glow grew, it silhouetted another building, about a mile from their current secure resting place.
Holy shit, Scott.
Oh, damn, are they coming back?
No, it's not that. I've got some good news, and some bad news.
Fuck, I was afraid you were gonna say that. I'll get the bad out of the way first.
Okay, the bad news is, there's no radio or any other way to communicate with anyone outside this cabin, which is super weird. You'd think that if this place was built by this Connor mining firm, they'd have some safety protocols or some way to call for help.
Mags, you said there was also some good news?
Yeah, sorry. I ramble when I'm under pressure. There seems to be a dirt trail that heads up towards another building. And there's a light on now, so maybe somebody is there that can help.
That's great!
I knew you'd be excited. So, the plan. We can try to eat whatever mystery food is in these cans, change your splint, and then get the fuck up that hill for some help.
Oh, I am loving this plan. Oh my gods, I did not want to die out here.
We still gotta be careful, though. I don't want whoever lives up there to think that we're trespassers and use us as target practice. We might have to get loud or something to get their attention far before we even get close to the house. Hopefully it's just another ranger outpost or something. But with an actual radio.
Get loud? Mags, have you lost your mind? If we get loud to get attention, we might also be getting those things to come running as well, which last time I checked is the person with the bum leg I will not be taking part in, thanks.
Scott, I'm going to fix you up and we're going to get out of here. I promise we will not send a personal invitation to those things to come for us, okay?
All right. What other choice we got, right?
Mags helped Scott get comfortable as they both partook in the water in what ended up being stale canned bread, left behind by the previous tenants. They ate mostly in silence, desperate for the nourishment after a day of hiking and the horrors they'd found. After switching out Scott's splint and finding a proper crutch, they prepared for their egress.
Shh. You hear that?
It sounds far from here, Scott. Okay, so here is my plan. I'm gonna throw some of this food as far away from the building as I can, causing a sweet distraction. Then we make a run for it to the path and book it up that trail. When we get close to the house, we shine our flashlights at the window, and that'll be our way of letting them know that we're coming. No verbal signal, but they'd know we're coming up the road.
And you'd think that those bugs wouldn't just come running for the lights.
You said they didn't have eyes, right? We can use that to our advantage.
Yeah, that's why you make the big bucks.
Sing my praises when I get us up there. Fuck!
Barbed pincers flailed through the now open window space, slashing about the room. Mags and Scott pressed towards the back wall, dodging long insect arms hacking towards them. The chittering of the creatures rung out, forcing Mags and Scott to shelter their ears.
Move along the wall! Get to the front door!
Mags and Scott skimmed the back wall, still clutching the sides of their heads. Just feet from the door, Scott stretched to reach the door handle until...
Y'all okay?
A gruff voice called in from the darkness as a shotgun barrel slowly pushed the front door open.
Please, we need help!
In the dust and through the night, an older woman stepped past the doorway. She stood solid, holding a double-barreled shotgun, pointing into the room.
Any more of them in here?
No. They never got in. Just that one trying to come through the window.
Good.
The woman stood firm, her eyes darting around the room.
Y'all coming, or do you want to stick around and wait for some more to show up?
The two moved quickly outside with their hands raised into the night and ran right into a blinding LED lighting system that was hooked up to the front of an old, rusted-out truck. The engine idled as this woman meandered from the cabin and drew against her cigarette, the light glowing red against her cheeks, illuminating a thin grimace across her face.
I never asked for this shit. I'm Marianne. This is my fault. Y'all are somewhat worse for wear. How many did you see?
Only a few. But enough. The landslide was worse. I mean, those bugs never touched us. At least I don't think they did.
Lucky for both of you. Once they get a taste of you, they'll chase you down no matter what. They kind of hold a vendetta of sorts. Figure it's a territorial thing. But nevertheless, I'm glad you made it out of that valley alive. What the hell were y'all doing out there? That landslide is what brought me to you both. I got the seismograph readings from the lab on top of the hill and I came running.
We're investigative journalists? So that's what that building was. Huh. Okay. Well, we were about to head there right before you kicked the door in.
Well, it would have been a hell of a hike up. And if the broods didn't catch you, my traps would have. Investigative journalist, huh? You sure got yourself one hell of a story.
So why do you have seismographs on these mountains?
Oh, think about it, honey. Where do you think those things come from? Space? No, they come from deep underground. You're lucky I spotted you. No one was coming to save you two. This desert eats people, frequently.
So you know all about this and those things?
Scientific name, Cicadidae magna. Type, invertebrate. Diet, omnivore.
Really?
Yes. Yes. They only become violent like this during their brooding season. Group name, Plague. Also known as the Magnum Cicada by my former husband, before one eviscerated him. He's always quick with an honorific.
Wait, are you Marianne Connor?
Yep. Biologist and wife to a famed idiot philanthropist and creator of a greedy mining corporation that dug too deep for its own good. Fucking Grant. It's his fault and that stupid group of shareholders that we have to deal with this bullshit. Just be glad y'all didn't end up like the councilman. Let's just say they don't like to eat you in one piece.
Don't bring that up to Sleepyhead back there. Hey! Scott, bud.
Oh, fuck, sorry about that.
Christ. You can sleep anywhere, can't you?
I was a little tired from running away from space bugs. Are we here?
Yeah, Limpy. How's the leg?
I mean, all things considered, pretty great. This new boot thingy is nice.
Yeah, it was a tax write-off a few years ago. Connor Mining paid for all the local shacks to have a kit like that. Glad it paid off for someone. Come on, I'll make us some tacos.
Ma'am, you are a saint.
Well, thanks. Let me just... Oh, yeah, there we go. At night, we need to be armed around here. Thankfully, the damn things don't fly. That's the last thing I need. Some poor trucker getting his cab smashed in by one of those bastards all of a sudden learning how to fly. Wouldn't be pleasant.
The three made their way into the compound, which was square and flat compared to the soaring nature of the Whisper Mountains that surrounded it. The front doors were reinforced steel with deep scratches starting from midway up. The brood had been here before, but it seemed like Connor was prepared for it. Next, the team made their way into a large open kitchen and dining area. Mags noticed the wire mesh that seemed to be in every window in the building as they moved through it.
This place is like a fortress.
Yeah, it has to be. We made this place after the discovery of the Magnum. And that was after they infested and devoured the majority of the mining team working out here, so we learned a lot when we first found them. Had to do a lot of paperwork and payouts to families. Drink?
Did I die back there? Yes, please.
No, thank you. Some water would be nice? Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm a wash up for dinner. Got some of the exoskeleton on me. You two make yourselves at home. I'll be right back.
Huh. She's cool. God, I wish we had the camera. Yeah, I would ask if maybe we could interview her about the bugs. It would be an excellent way to get the discovery out there, you know. Word of the experts, all that jazz.
Yeah, she has a radio up here with a Bureau of Land Management logo on it. That's a little weird. This is the type that was supposed to be in the cabin that we fell into.
Wasn't her husband, like, big with those dudes? I know he did a lot of construction work and stuff with them. So maybe they, like, hooked it up and threw one in for free.
Yeah, no. I somehow doubt that the feds would toss one on for funsies. It's a little weird. This. Scott! Look!
Magdalena held up Scott's camera, which, while scratched and dusty, was perfectly intact.
Holy shit.
She put it back on the counter and walked away towards the reinforced glass wall that spanned the kitchen as Connor returned.
Wasn't it beautiful? The sunset and sunrise are just magnificent. It's too bad you can't see too much of the city from up here, but that's fine. Well, on to better things. Tacos. I just pre-bagged them at the beginning of the week to throw them onto the skillet.
Dr. Connor, I need to ask you some questions.
Sure. Nothing on the record yet, though. I'm still working with the lawyers about a lot of this, to be honest. You never know how much paperwork will be involved in discovering a species of carnivorous bugs until they kill your husband, I would suppose. But you'll be the first people I come to for an exposé.
Well, you said it was seismographs that brought you out to us, right?
Yeah, so I've been tracking the movements of these things since the late 80s, when my husband used the mining firm to dig a little too deep. The company was inherited from his father, and the metals kept coming, so they kept digging. It was back then when we found our first specimens. They were moltings and eggs. We didn't know what we had back then, to be honest. We kept our in-house geologists exceptionally well paid to keep their mouths shut about the possible leads in the mine. This helped in this case as well. Then there was the situation. We found a cavern, huge, full of ceiling-high crystals. It was strange finding one so deep, but we pressed on and sent in a team. We never found out how big it was. The brood killed every last one of them. I guess that opening into the cavern was good enough for the Magnum because we opened the floodgates. They crawled up and ate or killed everyone in their way. It was a nightmare. We had some security teams on site to drive them back, but they had already taken over the entire mine and were exploring outdoors.
Why did you guys keep it quiet?
Simple. Money. My husband and the board were terrified that they'd have some sort of litigation on their hands for how these people died. It's not every day you have your mine overrun by giant, horrifying bugs. How the hell were they going to explain that away? Let alone the Bureau of Land Management had their eyes on the property for years, wanting to add it to the national park. They couldn't let it out. So they pivoted. They turned into a non-profit for miners' families and Black Lung, wrote off the mine as a collapse, and paid out minimal compensation for the families, particularly cruel. Good old Grant made me promise just to let him take care of it, all to find out later he was feeding people to the things. For generations, his family had been covering it up, because here and there they pop up. The bugs are precursors to large veins of precious metals, so, of course, the risk and reward were significant factors.
Holy shit. Are you saying
that I had found my millionaire husband in a generational conspiracy to placate a species of bugs to profit his mining firm? Yes. It's weird when you put it that way, but money makes people do dangerous things. We'd pay off folks to send outsiders up here. I'm also sure that his great old grandpappy made up that legend of the lost Greenfield mine just to get more sacrifices for the hive.
So why do they keep feeding it people? Why not cows? Pigs? Something? Anything?
In front of Scott, a small metal box began to light up with red lights. Only a few at first, but then over a dozen.
So, there is some sort of parasitic relationship the bugs have with our bodies. When they mate, they enjoy making nests out of their body cavities for the larva. Then they go to sleep, much like the cicadas we see in the Midwest. They have a 17-year brood cycle as well. Hence, with Brood X's awakening out in the Midwest, this new batch has come out to play, as it were.
Connor, why do you have our camera?
I never meant to hurt either of you. Greengrove called ahead and told me you were coming. I'm tired of watching innocent people get sent out to their deaths, so I felt the need to help y'all. I was just studying their hunting stylings.
Wait, Greengrove?
I know what this looks like, but you have to trust me. I am trying to stop the cycle that my husband's family began generations ago. So I just needed to see how they worked up close. And seriously, you know I had your back, right?
Connor ran to the window to check the perimeter, then realized her warning system was going off right under Scott's face. She looked at the other two as she pulled out a rifle from behind a shelf and checked around at the chamber.
Go down this ridgeline, go into the tunnel, make the first left you find, and then just keep going. You'll end up right above the main trail, but be careful. There's an old mine around there, so watch where you walk. Do you understand?
We aren't going anywhere until we get the full story. What is that?
Get out the back now!
Camera!
Magdalena ran for the camera, but Scott pulled her back and ran for the safety outdoors.
Here, take your camera and go tell the world this story. I'll buy you some time. Think of this as an apology for using you as bait. Now run!
The two ran into the night with just their flashlights and their camera tucked away in Mag's pocket. Then finally they got to the entrance of the tunnel.
Mags, how do we know this isn't some trap or something? Connor wasn't the most trustworthy of people.
Right now we don't have any more options, okay? This is our way out of here. Let's go.
I just feel like this is our massacre grounds, you know? I don't know what's in there. I'm not cool with us dying today.
But you are like the older brother I never had, but it's okay. I got us into this mess, so I'm gonna get us out, okay?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Lead the way.
The mine entrance was dug straight into the mountain and went on quite a ways, farther than either of them could see. As they made their way inwards, Magdalena spotted a wooden sign that read, Greenfield Mine.
Remember, watch your step. The old lady said there's a mine down here. The last thing you want to do is get trapped down a hole.
Looking around, they saw dozens of bug-sized holes in the walls, which made each of them nervous. But they eventually found the leftmost passage and ran towards the tunnel's edge. The tunnel became uncomfortably tight in sections, forcing them to squeeze through at times.
Shit, that was my flashlight.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's just keep moving.
Max, I'm scared.
If we get through this part, I can get the extra flashlight out of the bag. Just keep moving. I'm almost out. It gets wider here.
Squeezing through the tunnel, Scott noticed a sharp pain and tugging on his injured leg.
Max, I got my leg! Don't pull me through! Don't let him take me!
Magdalena turns and grabs Scott's clothing, pulling him as hard as she could. But no matter how hard she tugged, he wouldn't budge. Realizing Scott is pinned in between the tunnel walls, she takes a step back, unable to move.
Max!
No, Scott!
Oh, God! No!
Magdalena turned quickly, reaching into her pack and pulling out an extra flashlight, ready to run. Scott was still pinned between the bugs and her, and they were making quick orders of his body.
Max! Run.
The lights of Scott's eyes faded as Magdalena turned, tears streaming down her face.
She ran, and rightfully so, because the brood was not satiated on only the body of one man.
Can't be real. Scott, what the fuck?
Meg slumped against the cliff's edge, just outside the exit of the cavern. She stared at the horizon, dirty tears streaming down her red cheeks. Visions of her past with Scott flashed in her mind. His goofy t-shirts that always made her laugh. His supportive nature that made them such great friends and partners. She'd never see his dumb red beard or listen to him complain about politics or take his incredibly profound advice ever again. Megs wiped the tears and snot from her face and pulled herself up off the ground. She wanted to curl up and cry until she passed out, but now was not the time for that. The clicking and the screeching of the creatures were not far off, and she was not safe.
I'm so, so sorry, Scott. I have to go. I promise I won't let you die in secret. People will know what happened to you.
Megs turned from the mountain and started her journey downward. From this vantage point, she could see the start of a highway 5 miles out from the bottom of the bluff.
A few more hours and I'm finally the fuck out of here.
Mags had made it all but 10 feet before being stopped by the dead stillness in the air, facing the cavern opening. Small movements inside the tunnel turned into a brood of giant insects flooding out like a dam had burst. The rocks and dirt trembled until the walls around the cavern opening cracked and burst open, dumping a sea of gray and brown to cover the cliffside walls. A bloated creature emerged from the shadow, large tentpole-length pincers and a tank-like body pushing through the remaining obstacles of the narrow tunnel. Crystals and gems spiked forth from its opaline carapace, and the brood queen, glistening with incandescent shimmers, her exoskeleton emulating the treasures which brought countless souls to their demise. She moved with alien grace as she slowly climbed up a boulder, sensing the air. Meg's eyes widened, her skin cold, her legs felt like as if they were on fire, and her mind froze.
What the fuck?
The queen quickly turned her attention to Mags and called forth her children. In kind, they responded and swarmed forward. Mags' body shook as she watched her fate quickly approach. The queen struck out a sharp bellow that shot through Mags' bones. Mags caught her breath and stepped back. As the avalanche of her death drew closer, she dug her heels into the soil and dried leaves and exploded off her back foot, careening down the mountain. She glanced back towards the creatures, running down this incline at full speed. It appeared as if they were finding it difficult to navigate through the dense trees, and she was able to put some distance between herself and them.
Yeah? Fuck you! I'll overrun all of you! You can't have me!
The chittering began to intensify and move all around her. To her left and right, more creatures were popping up from underneath the earth, flocking around her. In a panic, her eyes darted, looking for anything she could hide in, around, under, something. And then she spotted it. An old mine opening, small enough for miners to lower food and supplies into an access tunnel. She could slip in and wait for the brood to leave the area and then make her escape. She grabbed hold of a tree trunk and swung her momentum towards the mine shaft. She could hear the chittering in the area, so she slowed her pace and found a set of high shrubs to bury herself in.
Come on, Magdalena. You can do this. We just have to wait for the right. Oh, my God. This is it. This is where I'm going to die. And no one is going to know about it. I can't fucking believe this is happening. No. Fuck that.
Mags glanced around her space and picked up a large stone that lay within the brush. She gauged the distance between herself and the mine shaft, then turned her attention behind her. With all of her strength, she heaved the rock in the opposite direction, smashing it against a large boulder 10 feet behind her. The queen spun her body and rushed towards the noise. This was Mag's chance. She erupted from the bushes, flora and dust splashing outward. She rushed the small mine opening. Her world warped and slowed with this last attempt at survival. Her arms and legs scorched with every step towards safety, and the brood, now recognizing the ruse, had turned back towards her. 30 feet, 25 feet, 15 feet to salvation. But the queen was almost upon her. Meg could feel her hot breath as she widened her maw and screeched outward. Tears flowed like rivers and trailed behind Meg's. She reached out to the mineshaft as if she were waiting for someone to pull her in. She thought about her parents, who would never know why she was gone. She thought about her friends, who she would never share any more experiences with. She reflected on her life, and was saddened by its almost certain end, and that it was Scott who should have made it out, and not her. She reached. Her arms folded together as she dove headfirst into the mine opening. She felt the hard rock slam against her body as she started to tumble downwards. The queen followed closely behind, smashing the wooden on and covering the deep hole. Max turned her gaze towards the opening, now above her, and smiled. She made it. She fucking made it. The daylight blared down the exposed mineshaft and shined upon Mags.
You fuckers! I told you! You can't fucking have me!
The creatures dug and tried to push their way down the exposed hole, but the walls had been reinforced, so their efforts seemed futile. Mags peered through the darkened tunnels, searching for a way out.
How the hell am I gonna get out of here? It doesn't matter now. I just gotta wait until I know they're gone.
Meg slumped onto the cold dirt surface and took her first breath of relief since this entire experience began. She escaped the brood and would soon be off this mountain for good. She smiled, sadly, but still.
I fell asleep. God damn it!
In a panic, Meg stood and limped towards one of the mineshaft tunnel openings.
Oh, which way? Shit.
This does conclude our special two-part coverage on the Aurora Grove disappearances from WPHX Public Radio. The community has memorialized those presumed dead, and in a show of unity, Aurora Grove banded together and assisted many of the surviving family members and friends. In addition, the Connor Mining Company Outreach Program
has dispatched mental health specialists for anyone seeking assistance in these trying times. Recently, there have been reports of strange, large blasts along the mountain ridge. The Connor Mining Company has confirmed that there has been significant seismic activity and, while odd, is not uncommon around large mountain ranges such as this. If you or anyone you know has any knowledge on the lost and missing, please contact the anonymous tip line of the Aurora Grove Police Department. Chief Andrews would like to remind the community that all of their best and brightest are on the case. John Cardoza, the father of the missing investigative journalist Magdalena Cardoza, has been actively protesting the police at town hall meetings, demanding more answers.
Listen, I just want my little girl back, and the cops aren't telling me any information at all. They just keep saying that they don't comment on ongoing investigations, and it's bull****. She just graduated college, and then she goes missing along with her best friend. This just isn't like her. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with this town.
Up next, our interview with the local historian Allison Greengrove on a particular segment we like to call Aurora Grove History. Miss Greengrove will be taking us on a deep dive of the legend of the lost Greenfield Mine and the Whisper Mountains, all in celebration of the Aurora Grove Historical Society Gala later this week. Can you be the person that finds the treasure of the lost Greenfield Mine? All this and more next time on Then and There. This is WPHX Public Radio.